The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Your Bible, go back, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 4. I want to speak tonight on how far for a soul, how far for a soul. We read verses 1 through 4. Let's examine, if you will, tonight, verses 3 and 4. Well, let's look at verse 5, too, but watch this, if you will. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, and he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And the Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria, then cometh to the city of Samaria, the Bible says, which is called Sychar, near. Now it's talking about the ground, if you will. There's the well, Jacob's well, if you would, and he's heading right beside Jacob's well. Now, what leads up to this is where he's coming from. That's very significant, because where he is going to and where he's coming from and where he was going to be going to other than that is significant to the message. Let me give you some history, if I may. In the book of John chapter 1, in verse 28, you'll see that Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist there in Jordan. And you'll see that that takes place in John chapter 1 and verse 28. Then you'll see from there in John chapter 1 and verse 44 that Jesus is leaving Bethsaida and he finds Philip in John chapter 1 and verse 44. The next thing you find out is he goes down to Cana. As he goes down to Cana, he turns the water into wine in John chapter 2 and verse 1. Then he travels there from Cana over to Capernaum as he's in Capernaum in John chapter 2 and verse 12. Then you'll find out that as he leaves Capernaum, soon follows the Passover, and as he heads down to Jerusalem, we're talking about places that he's leaving from and going to, leaving from and going to, leaving from and going to. And then you find out, of course, after the Passover, as I said, in John chapter 2 and verse 31, he's now going to travel, if you will, back to Judea. Of course, there is the baptism of John that takes place there in John chapter 3 and verse 22. Then we come to where he is now in Samaria. Now you say, what's the significance of all that? Well, you'll find out in John chapter 4, that is, he goes back, if you will, to Samaria, that as he's heading there, that was not his original plan. In John chapter 4, you'll see in verse 46 that he was going to go back to that which is Galilee. Now, Galilee is to the north. Then he's going to head over to Canaan, all right? And so that is all in the north. But in John chapter 4 and verse 46, you're going to find out now, instead of going there, he's coming down to that which is Canaan. He's coming down straight, if you want to. Canaan, of course, is straight north. That which is Galilee is straight north, but he's coming down to Samaria. Now, Samaria, understand what's happening now. If he's going to go, and he's going to go over from Galilee to Canaan, that's about 30 miles, that is straight north. And now instead of doing that, what is he doing? He is coming southwest. He's coming to a place that's called Samaria. As he comes down to that, that is 9 miles out of the way, which means he's going to go down and he's going to come back to Canaan. That's 18 miles out of the way. You say, what is the significant factor of that? The significant factor of that is that Jesus went 9 miles out of his way to reach one person for Christ. And then he turned around and came back 9 miles to get back on the trail, to go back to where he was originally intending to go. That's how come the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria. Now, the question tonight is this: how far will you go for one soul? How far will you go for one soul? Let me give you some places to go. Statement number one: are you willing to go across the seat? Are you willing to go across the seat? We see the story of Jesus here. The Bible says in John chapter 9 and verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, okay, so Jesus is passing by, get the story, and he looks over and he sees a man that's blind from his birth. It's right next door. It is the right next seat to him. And as he looks over and he sees this man that is there that's blind from his birth, he stops. You say, well, what's the significance of that? The significance of that is found in John chapter 8 and verse 59, where the Bible says, and they took, this is what it says here, then took they up stones and cast at him, and Jesus hid himself, and he went down out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and passed by. So here Jesus is on the run. So they're taking stones and they're heaving them at Jesus. Jesus is on the run, but as he is on the run and he's hiding himself from those stones that's being cast at him, he noticed that there was a blind man that was sitting next to him, and he was not in such a hurry that he did not stop. He stopped and he witnessed to the blind man. He stopped and he led the blind man to the Savior. He was somebody that even though he was busy, and by the way, you could not be more busy than trying to flee from the stones. You could not be more busy than those that are casting stones at you, hiding yourself among the crowd. But Jesus, in the midst of fleeing the stones, in the midst of running up in between the masses, hiding in between the midst of them, Jesus saw this blind man, and he reached over, and he led this blind man to the Savior. Now, here's my question. Across the seat, who is sitting there that you could take and very easily give the gospel to? Sometimes it's not necessarily all the way, if you will, please, in another land. Sometimes it's right next door to us. Sometimes it's that person that's sitting. What about that one that sits beside you in an airplane? What about that one that sits beside you in a bus? What about that one that sits beside you in a waiting room somewhere? Maybe a portrait studio somewhere. The one that is sitting next to you in the beauty parlor. The one that is sitting next to you in the barber shop. The one that is sitting next to you in the dentist chair, in the optometrist chair, or the orthodontist chair. The one that's sitting next to you as you take your dog to the veterinarian. The one that is sitting next to you as you walk your dog, or you're sitting there in the park beside your dog. Maybe it's the mechanic, or maybe it's the doctor. Maybe it's the mailman, or maybe it's the Avon lady. Maybe it's the insurance man, or maybe it's the waiter or the waitress that comes to the table. Maybe it's somebody that works around you in the gas station, or a coworker or a supervisor. Maybe it's a foreman. Maybe it's a boss. But God is going to put somebody in a seat next to you. And when God puts somebody in a seat next to you, it is your privilege to be able to give them the gospel. Here Jesus was in a hurry. Jesus was running. Jesus is in the midst of the people, and he stopped. And as he stopped, he noticed that there was a blind man sitting there. And what did he do? He stopped being in a hurry. And he pulled up beside the blind man and he led the blind man to the Savior. And may I say, we ought never to be in such a hurry that we don't stop and talk to somebody about Christ. You can give somebody a gospel tract. You can give somebody a gospel witness. You can give somebody your testimony. You can stop somebody. By the way, somebody is waiting for you. Amazing how God has placed Parkside Baptist Church in the strategic location of which it now sits. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing that God knew when he placed this church here, he knew that you'd be a member? Hello? He knew that. He knew that you would have a soul winner's heart. Isn't it amazing that God placed a park right next door to Parkside Baptist Church? Isn't that amazing? Somebody says, I hadn't had somebody saved in a long time. You go to the park and you can have somebody saved in a short amount of time. The park is located right next door. It's amazing how many hundreds of people just pass by. Amazing how many people walk around. There's no excuse under heaven, I believe, for a soul winner that is knowledgeable about giving the gospel in such a prevalent area that's receptive to the gospel of Christ, not to have somebody come to know Christ as Savior. People have such a strong desire to be able to be saved. By the way, I find that everywhere I go. I hear preachers say, well, it can't be done here, it's too hard. I'm sorry for a man that believes that. I really feel sorry for a man that believes that. Somebody says, in my area, it's just too tough. I'm sorry that somebody believes that it's too tough for God. I'm telling you, there is nothing that's too hard for the Lord. Man, if I was in a non-English speaking country, I'd win tourists to Christ. You can always find somebody to witness to. You can always find somebody to give the gospel to. You can always find somebody to be able to share the good news with. It's just a matter of going. It's a matter of giving. It's a matter of being a witness. It's a matter of giving your testimony. It's a matter of, do we really care? I'm saying tonight that across the seats you can win somebody to Christ. Wait a minute, not just across the seat, but across the street. Sometimes we do have to put a little effort in it. Sometimes we have to go just a little bit farther. Might be down the street, might be to a neighbor. You know what I find out about us many times? If we're not careful, we become isolationist. We do. Can I prove it to you tonight? Well, don't raise your hand. But raise your heart tonight. Can I prove it to you? I wonder how many of you tonight know your neighbor's name. You know your neighbor's name. I wonder how many of you tonight know the neighbor that lives across the street, their name. I wonder how many of you know the names of the people that live within a half a block of you. How about a block of you? How about have you knocked on the doors that's just within a mile of you? That's not asking much, a mile. You walk that much at Walmart. That's not asking much. But I'm talking about witnessing the people. Going to people across the seat. You know, you can go up to people, and I do it all the time. I go up to people and I say, they're sitting on a bench or something. I'll say, somebody sitting here? And they'll say, no. And I'll say, you don't mind if I sit down, do you? And they say, no. I've never had somebody, once they say nobody's sitting there, I've never had anybody say, well, yeah, I do mind. I've just never really had it. I says, am I sitting there? No. Well, you don't mind if I sit down beside you for just a little bit, do you? No. Well, now I'm sitting down here, let me talk to you for just a little bit. Where do you go to church? Now, I've had some people say, well, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I say, well, I don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about something you want to talk about. How about heaven? You know you're going to go? Heaven's a whole lot better than church. There's hypocrites in church. I know a lot of people don't want to go to church because they're hypocrites. But now what about heaven? You're not going to find any hypocrites in heaven. And be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ. I think so many times we give up too quick. So many times we say, well, I tell you what, they shut me down on that one. And since they shut me down on that one, there is no other avenue. There is always other avenues. There's always ways. You say, well, I tell you what, that sounds a little bit pushy. No, it's not pushy. It's called caring. Listen, I thank God that somebody cared enough for me. I thank God that somebody showed me how to be saved. What did they do? They walked the distance in order to lead me to Christ. There's somebody across the street. Have you witnessed to your neighbor? Have you witnessed to the one across the street? Have you witnessed to the one beside you? Have you witnessed to the one that lives behind you? And if you haven't done it, in God's dear name, do it, and shame on you if you haven't done it. Witness to the people across the street. What does it take? It takes a little bit more effort. A little bit more effort. It made me walking 30 feet. A little bit more effort. Maybe walking down a lane that's less than 3 miles. A little bit more effort in being able to take the gospel and talking to people. And by the way, it might be that it's across the street. And it might be in the same community in which you live. It might be here in the Mesquite area. Or you may live like I live in Forney. Or it may be in Dallas or someplace like that. But they need the gospel. We're not talking about going to another state. Is your daddy saved? We're not talking about going to another state. Is your mama saved? We're not talking about going to another state. Is your brother saved? Is your aunt saved? Why in God's dear name, if you've got a relative that is not saved, you're not on your face every single time the altar is given, why are you not on your face and bawling and crying and weeping and begging God to save them? Because hell is a real place, and let hell become real inside of your soul, and you rise up and be concerned about that person that's across the street. I'm not saying you got to leave. I'm saying you can take and lead people to Christ right where you are. I thank God for every mission field we go on. I thank God for the tens of thousands of people that get saved. But I'm not going to, I had a preacher went with me one time and he said, wow, I think that week we had something like 6,000 or 7,000 people to receive Christ, a little bit less than what we had this week. And he said, wow, preacher, he said, I got my soul in for the entire year. It ought not be that way. I was sick yesterday. I tell you, I told Brother Palmore, I said, man, I got up, got dressed, and boy, I was just dead. And I felt so bad. I wanted to come soul winning. I wanted to lead somebody to Christ. Amen. Look, one day I'll be in the bed, sick, nigh on to death. And I promise you, I'll be in a hospital. And I'll try and lead every nurse to Christ I lead. I'll try and lead every doctor to Christ. Maybe they'll treat me better. Amen. But I'll try and lead every doctor to Christ. Soul winning is a part of my blood. Now, it's been that way ever since the day of salvation. If I got a gospel tract, it won't stay in my pocket long. I want somebody to get it. Don't get upset. I'm not concerned about what other people do as much as I'm concerned about what Mike Wells does. Because Mike Wells is the one that has to answer to God for what Mike Wells does. So I try my best to be able to get out that gospel. Now, look at people that sit beside you. Are they saved? Only way you know is to talk to them. Look to people that's down the street. Are they saved? Only way you can find out is if you talk to them. You say, but I'm not a good talker. You don't have to be a good talker. You give them a track. Let the track do the talking for you. Give them a track. As you give them a track, you know, you can pass out that track, and we've covered this in soul winning. You can pass out that track and you say, hey, this track is a birthday card. I know I'm going to miss your birthday. I'd like to give you a birthday card. Hello? How'd you like to have two birthdays? Sometimes that'll turn on you. They'll say, man, I'm getting old enough, fast enough as it is. I don't want to. Hey, this is an Easter card. This is a Christmas card. This is an anniversary card. This is a friendship card. This is a church invitation card. But use that track. Everybody in here can pass out a gospel track. I cannot begin to tell you how many people has bowed their heart and received Christ as Savior. Why? Simply because somebody gave them a track. Somebody walked across the street. Somebody gave it across the seat. Somebody was concerned. You can do better. By the way, let me ask you a question. As any soul winner in here, are you happy with the way that you're soul winning right now? Are you happy? Would you raise your hand? See, I'm the preacher, and I'm not satisfied either. Because a person that really has a genuine concern about people, we never get satisfied that we've done enough and give out the gospel, have we? We always want to see people get saved more. And we're not putting ourselves in competition one against the other, but we're trying to do our best in giving out the gospel. Because there's a precious soul that's at stake. There's somebody that's going to go by the wayside. By the way, can I help you a little bit? Non-soul winners become some of the biggest complainers in the church. The first thing that a person will back off of is their soul winning attendance. And then they go downhill from there. Now, for people that are new to the church, they've never even tasted of soul winning. Don't judge them too quick because they don't even know about it. It took you a while to climb the ladder. It may take them a while to climb the ladder. And by the way, they may be passing out tracts. Don't be too quick to judge somebody. But I'm saying somebody doesn't do it at all. They never pass out a gospel tract. They never talk to anybody about Jesus. I'm saying be somebody that talks to somebody across the seat. Be somebody that talks to somebody across the street. Are you ready? Be somebody that talks to somebody across the state. You may have to go 30 miles. You may have to go 60 miles. You may have to go 100 or 200 or 300 or 500. Is the relative worth it? Are they worth the gas? Are they worth the time? By the way, if you can't go, send somebody who can go. Find an evangelist. Find a missionary. Find a pastor. And say, I beseech you, I beg you, would you please go by and see my parent? Would you go by and see my uncle? If you go, I'll be praying that they come to know Christ as Savior, but would you go? I remember Shelton Smith, Dr. Shelton Smith, went by my mother's house, I think 3 times. Never witnessed to her. Never witnessed to her. Went by my mother's house 3 times. And here's what he said. He said, I'm building a relationship. My mother had a barrier up. He said, I'm building a relationship. And the fourth time he went by, he won my mama to Christ. But it took four times. Now thank God for a soul winner that went by and went by and went by and went by. I'm off at Bible college. I'm getting training. Mama wanted, I believe mama wanted to get saved. Didn't know how. Had a little barrier up there. He came by, won her heart to himself, and then won her heart to Christ. And I'm saying it's important that you do what you can to make sure that your relatives are saved even across the state. But isn't it amazing, though, when you lead somebody to Christ, that they'll go and lead somebody else to Christ if they get a full grip of it? Isn't that amazing? I met a man when I was preaching in Mindanao, and he said, "Preacher," he said, I surrendered the first time under you. And then he said, "I went to the field, and the field shut down. They kicked all the missionaries out." He said, "You came back the next year, and you preached," and he said, "God gave me a new vision to go to another field." He said, "So I surrendered to that field. I want you to know I'm doing a good work for God." What is that? A surrendered heart. A surrendered heart. If you keep a surrendered heart, by the way, can I tell you something? You go out soul winning, you will probably flub up. You'll probably make a mistake. You'll go to the door, and as you go to the door, you'll forget your name, forget your church, and forget your partner's name, and that's okay. You might forget to take your tracts and your pen. You might forget to take your convert slips. You might even forget to take your New Testament. When you get up there, you forget several of the verses you're supposed to quote, and that's okay. But if you keep going, you'll get used to it. No, you won't get used to forgetting. You'll get used to remembering. But you got to keep going. It's like riding a bike. Once you get on the bike and you start pedaling, it's okay. You made it. Once you get off the bike and you stay off the bike for several years, months, whatever, you never forget how to ride the bike. But you might get rusty at it. You might get a little bit fearful about getting on it. Especially as you're supposed to ride it in a narrow way. And you might be a little bit fearful about doing it. But once you get on it, you're okay. The problem is, once we get out of doing it, it becomes just as natural not to do it as it did to do it. Come on, did you know backslidden people can become comfortable? Did you know that? You know, you can sit on something hard. Over in the Philippines, they don't have pews like we have here. We have squeaky pews in our place. We know if you're right for God, if you squeak at least five times during the sermon. Boys up front's always right with God. But over there, they don't have the padded pews. They don't have the air condition. Just wooden pews in a hot place. Hello. But you know, you can sit on those wooden pews, and after a while, they become quite comfortable. There's been times I've been so tired on a Sunday afternoon, I'll lay down on one of those wooden pews and take a nap. Quite comfortable. When you're tired and you're old, you can get comfortable anywhere. But quite comfortable. Now, may I say this? Look, did you know somebody that is not right with God can get comfortable in the state in which they find themselves in? You know, you can get comfortable texting people in church and think nothing about it. Did you know it? Did you know it? You know, you can get comfortable about rebelling against your parents and think nothing about it. You can. Girls, are you listening to me? You can get comfortable about wearing the wrong type of dress, and they get shorter and get shorter and get shorter, and you're showing your thigh and you're showing your nakedness, and you think nothing about it. But you're comfortable. Comes a way of life. Fellas, you can grow your hair long, pretending that you're Samson. The only thing you don't have is the strength. And you get comfortable. Hello. You know, you can get comfortable without anything in life. You get comfortable about eating those potato chips late at night. Sitting on the couch. Just one more to do it, mama. Just one more. You're not talking about the chip, you're talking about the next bag in line. You can get comfortable. I've seen people go to compromising churches. For you know it, they're comfortable. I've seen people not say amen in church. Comes a dead place. Comfortable. Listen, did you know it's very, very important that we understand when God says that we're supposed to consider the person that is in the next seat, consider the person that's on the next street, consider the person that's in the next state. Now, that's not just talking about soul winning. That's considering them and helping them every single step of the way. I'm not a Christian in the daytime and turn on something else at night. I'm a Christian through and through. If I'm going to be that way at church, I'll be that way at home, and I'll be consistent. Why? Because that's what God blesses. Not just across the seat, not just across the street or across the state, but across the sea. Every time I go across the sea, I think what a wonder it is to be able to lead people to Christ, and how their mouths are open like little birds, just waiting for somebody to drop a worm of truth. I've seen people that say this, God's called me to be a missionary. Meet with them later and they say, well, I guess I misunderstood. You know, when they all say, I guess I misunderstood, when they hear how hard it's going to be. Isn't that amazing how God's will changes when it becomes hard? Isn't that amazing? Well, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'll go anywhere God wants me to go, but amazing how a young person, yeah, even an adult, will put a but in there. Ought not to be. What if God would call you someplace that would be a little bit uncomfortable? Denton took Hannah on a romantic journey while they were there. They decided that they were going to go to one of the Providence churches. Now, you go to the churches in the Providence and you have less fortune than you have in the city. In the city, you have wooden pews, but at least they're smooth. In the Providence, you have wooden pews, but they stick you. That's why they stay awake so much. In the city, they have bathrooms. In the Providence, they don't. They have the forest. In that which is the city, they have the convenience of showers. In the Providence, you have a bucket and you have a scooper. You scoop the water and you pour it over your head. Is it not true you've been there? That's the way you take a shower. That's the way you take a bath. Or you just stink all day long. I haven't asked the Bells what they chose to do. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that sometimes we look at across the sea and we say it's just not a glamorous place to be. But do you really believe that Christ had it glamorous as he walked down the trails of that which was the will of God for his life? Do you really believe that he thought it was glamorous as those that turned their back on him? Do you really believe that he thought it was glamorous as he hung on the cross and was spit upon and had that which was stabbed in the side of him? Do you really believe he thought that was a glamorous thing to do? I'm saying that sometimes God will cause us and call us to do things that are not pleasant. What if God called you? Well, I want to be a doctor. Well, I thank God for doctors. One of my best dentist friends does all my dental work. It's in Manila. I went to Manila and I thought I was doing good. He salvaged me. I'm getting older. You can tell I'm getting older. But I went to Manila and I had a cap that broke. Now, if you're a little bit nauseous, don't listen to the next part. But I had a cap that broke off, and so he put those old pliers in there, and he grabbed that cap and wigged it this way and winged it that away and finally jerked it off. When he got done, he said, I got it. I said, I know you got it. I felt it being got. He got it. Then he took one of those drill things, and he smoothed it all down and rounded it all out and put glue on another cap and smacked it on there and put it on there tight. And Brother Kramer, I was doing okay. Went back and he said, now that only problem with that one, he said, it doesn't have a root. He said, the root's gone. He said, since the root's gone, it means it's going to be more brittle. So I suggest you do a bridge. I said, bridges are for old men. He said, no, you need a bridge. I said, you know, I think you cross those. I got a lady in her church that's afraid of bridges. I don't know. And so, but he said, no, you need a bridge. And so, by the way, I asked Brother Carnes, I said, what about this bridge thing? He said, yeah, I've got a couple of those. I said, that's because you're 2 years older than I am. But my good doctor friend, I asked Brother Carnes, I said, how much that cost you in the States? He said, between $3,000 and $5,000. My good doctor friend never charges me. Just for the lab stuff, that's all he ever charges. So I got it for just a couple hundred dollars. Now, if you come near me and I don't like you, I will bite you. I got a strong bridge I'll cross upon. Mrs. Nash, you're not welcome to cross over my bridge. But across the sea, sometimes we forget about across the sea. You say, I can't go, preacher, it's just too expensive. What about supporting missions? What about giving to missions? Some of you new believers, it's in the church. Some of you new church members, there's a place on that offering envelope to give to missions. You ought to start somewhere. Support yourself a missionary and help a missionary to rise up and go across the water and witness to a little boy and a little girl. By the way, we're a fundamental independent Baptist church. That means we're fundamental in our stance and our doctrinal belief, and we're independent as far as the local body deciding what we're going to do. We don't have an outside governing power. So we choose the missionaries. We choose the missionaries based on what they do. Somebody's on vacation, we'll pull their support. We expect them to send in letters telling how many people they witnessed to and how many people they had saved and how many people they had the church. And if they don't do it for a good while, we simply say they're not worth supporting. And so we'll simply pull the support. Now why? Because we want to put our money in people that's getting the job done. Now watch, if you will, here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. The Bible says, therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. So what was happening here? They were going everywhere preaching the word. That was across the sea. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, and he said on them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I found two Filipinos that's getting ready to come to America, raising money right now to come to America and start independent Baptist churches in cities in America, that do not have an independent Baptist church. You know, there are cities all over America. I started doing some checking on it. There are cities of 100,000 and 200,000 that don't have a fundamental independent Baptist church at all. And may I say, most of the churches that are gospel preaching churches today don't even exist. There has to be somebody that's going to rise up. Some of you boys, you rose up at a youth conference and you said, God's called me to start an independent Baptist church. Don't you quit. You decide when you graduate, you're going to go out and you're going to start that church, and you let us help you and underwrite you and serve you so that you can go out and fulfill the will of God. There's somebody that needs the gospel. One thing I love is a church that sends people out to be able to fulfill the will of God. Listen to it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. It says, unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What's that mean? That means this. That means be willing to go across the sea. Has God called you? I think sometimes people become stagnant, and let me tell you why. People become stagnant because they feel like inside their heart they're not doing enough. Now watch me. And so since they feel like they can't do more, they back off from what they're presently doing. Instead of turning it up in every avenue, knowing that God knows where you are, they turn it down. And then they wonder how come God's not moving them. Well, God's not going to move a lazy critter. God's only going to move those that are hot. By the way, you can't get too much church. Somebody says, well, I feel like I'm going to church too much. You're not going to church enough according to the Bible. Now, who are you going to believe, the Bible or somebody else? My Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need all the Bible you can get. Boy, if we had church every day of the week, and I'm tempted. But if we had church every day of the week, you ought to be here. We had church on Monday night, you ought to show up early. Tuesday night, show up early. Wednesday night, show up early. A Thursday night, show up early. Friday night, show up early. Saturday, show up early. Sunday, let's just go all day. You can't get enough church. When a person starts backing off of church, when a person starts coming in late, when a person starts prioritizing that I have a choice, but I choose not to be there, it shows the degree of their spirituality. Church is a spiritual thing. Come on, unspiritual people do not do spiritual things, but spiritual people do. And so the more spiritual you want to become, that means the more God-pleasing you want to become, the more you want to get in to become more like God. Where do you get that? Church! Isn't it amazing? Somebody says, preacher, I can't go to church because I got a horrible cold. Well, unless you're planning on giving it away in a little package, or unless, you know, the doctor said, now, you better stay in bed because what you have is contagious. If you breathe on somebody, they're dead. Well, then you stay home. Love us that much, please. But if it's not contagious and all you've got, you got a voice that goes in and out. One minute you sound like a man, the next minute you sound like a woman. And you got a voice that goes in and out, in and out, in and out. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You feel tired, don't worry about it. You were born tired, you will live tired, you will die tired. Why not be tired for Jesus Christ? I'd rather be tired serving God than serving the devil. Somebody says we're in the middle of a campaign, and boy, my captain says we ought to go more. Going more is not going to hurt you. Somebody might get saved. It makes more sense. If you pass out more tracks, somebody might get saved more. Doesn't it make sense? I pass out 5 tracks. Somebody might read one. I pass out 1. They might not read it. I pass out 20. Wow, that means there's 20% chance more. Somebody might read it. I pass out 200. There's 200% chance more. Somebody might read it. Holy Ghost might take it and use it as a tool to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying this. I'm saying that sometimes we have to go where God says to go, whether it be to the next seat, maybe the next street, maybe in the next state, maybe overseas. But God has a place for you. Now, during a campaign, it's not time. Are you listening to me? During a campaign, it's not time to say, okay, I'm going to take a vacation and I'm going to go overseas. No, you plant down and you try and serve God as much as you can right here. By the way, may I say this? I notice this all the time. If you get busy for God, you never have to try and find the will of God. The will of God always finds you. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I'm waiting for that perfect church. If you're just sitting back waiting for God to deliver something in your lap when you're not doing anything. Now, can I help you out a little bit? God's just not looking at you. He's looking at your wife. God's just not looking at your wife. He's looking at your kids. Hello. When they called us to Parkside Baptist Church, they scrutinized my family. Is that not true? They wanted to see if my family was serving God. They wanted to see if my family was soul winners. If my family wasn't soul winners, then they wouldn't have called me. Whose fault would it have been? Mine. I'm daddy. That meant I didn't do my job in training them. Hello? Dad's responsibility to train his own kids to be soul winners. Boy, you're quiet now. Look, are you listening to me? My kids don't serve God because there was a preacher behind a pulpit somewhere, though that was a part of it. My kids served God because they had a daddy that pushed it home also. And I just didn't say, hey, go soul winning, it's time to go soul winning, get yourself out of bed. Mom and I, we were excited about soul winning. They just naturally fell in. Is that right? Naturally fell in. We made soul winning a big deal. We made going to church a big deal. Never one time did any of these boys, you tell me if I'm wrong, or that girl either, never one time did any of these boys or that girl say, I don't want to go soul winning. Never one time did they say, hey, Daddy, I'm tired of church. We were in church every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and many times every Thursday. And then we would travel on Friday and go soul winning almost all day on a Saturday. Never one time they get tired of that. The kid that gets tired of spirituality is because the kid is not spiritual. Chew on that one a while. But a kid that has a desire to serve Jesus Christ does not get tired of spiritual things. You know, most of the time they'd rather live at church if they could. Is that not right, Brother Bulkley? Rather live at church. You told me about your kids that you just couldn't get them away from here. Well, isn't that the type of kid you want to have? So when they got duties at home, they'll hurry up and do the duties where they can serve Jesus Christ. I think the problem with our churches is our churches are not as spiritual as what they pretend to be. They're in it for the ball, they're in it for everything else, but they're not in it for the Lord. May I say, listen, it is very important that we as believers decide that we're going to be soul winners across the seat, across the street, across the state, and across the sea. God wants to use you. Don't pull up anchor. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say, well, God, I gave it my best. You might be able to say that as you're laying on a deathbed somewhere, but until then, don't. Well, God, I'm tired. It's okay. Join the club. God bless you. Well, God, I just don't know if I can. Unless you're dying, you can. God can use you. Let God use you. Take the challenge and let God use you. God wants to use you either across the seat, across the street, across the state, across the sea, or all of them. Let him use you tonight. Father, thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.